Hello, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m., or you can get more information by looking at our website, tulsafbc.org. May the Lord bless you this week.
And now would you stand with me and would you listen expectantly and openly to the Word of God this morning?
Our scripture reading today comes from Genesis 1, 1 through 5, and John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was an evening, and there was a morning, one day. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Lord God, you spoke the heavens and the earth into being. Hovering over the darkness of chaos, your voice brought forth light, and your breath generated life. O God, in your word, all of your promises are contained. Your word never disappoints. Your word is eternal. Lord, we thank you for the word which is your Son, Christ Jesus. We thank you for Jesus who contains light and life and shares those divine gifts freely with us. We thank you that just like in the beginning, he continues to bring forth a new creation, challenging the darkness of our broken world with his light. He always has been, always is, and always will be reconciling us to you. Lord, we marvel at the depth and richness of your wisdom and knowledge. We are in awe of your mystery. For from you and through you and to you are all things. To you be the glory forever. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thanks so much. You may be seated. So Charles Dodson, 150 years or so ago, he was the professor of mathematics at Oxford University Christ Church, and Charles Dodson loved mathematics. He invested his life in that discipline, but Charles Dodson also had a thing for children's literature, and he was very naturally gifted in writing children's literature, and so he began to write a children's story called Alice in Wonderland. And Charles Dodson, we know him better as Lewis Carroll. That was his pen name. And when Alice in Wonderland came out, the Queen of England, Queen Victoria, read Alice in Wonderland and was so enthralled by it, she wrote to Lewis Carroll, Charles Dodson, and she said, "Would you please send me any other books you have written?" And so he sent her his other book, The Syllabus of Plain Algebraic Geometry. Some tells me it probably wasn't as easy or as fun to read as Alice in Wonderland. So there are some books that are easy to read and some books that aren't. The Bible is not an easy book to read. In fact, I've been asked quite a lot recently, why do people not read their Bible? It's because it's difficult to do so. There are easier things to read. 1,186 chapters, 750,000 words written by 40 men and women over approximately 1,400 years. This is complicated. It can be complex. So in an effort to make the scripture yet again more approachable, we just looked at 10 words, the Bible in 10 words, and each word has its own way of telling the entire story. Dust, light, garden, river. One of my favorite words in our little series has been the word afraid, because like many of you, I deal with fear. And so to hear that word afraid and to see the first episode of fear in the garden and then to realize that we don't have to live our lives afraid. Instead of being afraid of life, we can live in fear of the Lord and to be overwhelmed with wonder at his goodness and his graciousness. And if we live in fear of the Lord, if we are overwhelmed with wonder at him, we need not be afraid of anything else ever again. So we finished up the series, The Bible in 10 Words. We ended it last week, but this week is just a bit of an epilogue, an addendum. And this is not the Bible in the 11th word. This is the Bible in one word. If there is one word that explains all of the Bible, and what all of the Bible points to, revolves around, and helps us focus in on, it is this one word, Jesus. Okay? So I don't know how many of you remember when your kids were little, mine were little, maybe your kids still are little, and they throw a temper tantrum. And so you try to teach your kids, use your words. Don't just cry. Use your words and tell me what's wrong. And a mark of maturity is being able to open up our heart and our mind by using our words to communicate ourselves. God is not mute. God is not inarticulate. God is the most mature being in the universe because he has communicated his heart and his mind to us in a single name. This is it. It's what God wants you to know about him. Jesus. That's it. So you've heard Marissa read John chapter 1. And if you were listening, John chapter 1, as John begins his fourth gospel, it sounds like Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void. All that happened in the beginning. And John, when he begins his fourth gospel, intentionally he uses an echo of that. In the beginning was the Word. Now, there are some words that make sense across cultures. You can go pretty much anywhere in the world and use the word okay, and everyone will know what you mean. Every language on our planet has one word. When somebody says something, you don't quite catch it. Every language uses the same word for that. Huh? In Texas, we say, do what? You know. So those are words that communicate across cultural boundaries. Well, when John says, in the beginning was the Word, that word that he uses, I sound like a 90s rapper, the word communicates across cultures. It made sense to the Hebrew audience. Okay, those who are reading the Hebrew Older Testament, the Hebrew Scripture, they remember when it says, in the beginning was the Word, they instantly connected that with the creation event. What did God use to create everything? He used his words. Let there be light. Let life teem in the oceans. Let life blossom on the land. Okay, God spoke. Now, it's interesting, the Hebrew language has only 10,000 words in its vocabulary. The English language has 650,000 words, just to give you some context there. So in this very limited pool of words, sometimes words need to do double duty. And so the Hebrew word dabar for word, it not only means the articulation of something, the utterance of something, it means the event itself. So when God said, let there be light, there was light. The bottom line is, you can take God at his word. If he says something, it's as sure as done. So when that word is used, it reminds us, it's reminiscent of the creation event. So one of the most spectacular moments of my life was the day my daughter was born. February 16th, 1997. My wife went into labor the night before. Very inconsiderate. I didn't get much sleep that whole night. Next morning, the doctor comes in. He says, it's time to push. I was hungry. The nurses brought me a muffin and some orange juice. It was a great hospital. They took really good care of me, says my wife. So we begin to push, and the doctor says, now that your baby's head has crowned, do you want to come here and see this? And I said, no, really? Don't care to. Nope. Doctor says, get over here. So glad I did to see my daughter before she was born. When she was born, I was there and I loved her instantly. In the beginning was the Word. When creation was happening, when the universe was coming into being, Jesus was right there. And not only was he there when the universe was created, he was there when you were created. When you came into being, at the beginning of you was the Word. So Jesus is, and he always has been there. Now, that's the word Word in the Hebrew culture. In the Greek language, it meant something very different. Okay, now I'm going to use a little philosophy here. I find this stuff very interesting. I'm going to keep it short. 600 years before Jesus, there was a philosopher named Heraclitus. Now, you've read Heraclitus before because he said, you never step in the same river twice. That doesn't come from Oklahoma. That comes from ancient Greece. Because a river's always changing. You can go in the same spot, but it's different water. And below the surface, things have changed. So Heraclitus said, the world around us is always changing. And then he theorized, he philosophized, if things are always changing, what keeps the world from spiraling into chaos? Well, he said it's the Word of God. And he uses the Greek word logos, the Word of God, the rationale of God, the logic of God. God's mind holds it all together. So when John comes to write his gospel, he says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Logos. So in the Hebrew culture, Word meant creation. In the Greek culture, Word meant sustainer. What keeps your life from completely unhinging? What keeps life from spiraling out of control? What keeps you from going crazy in the face of all the different demands and distresses that you face? Jesus Christ is the one who holds our lives in his hands and holds our lives together. Creator, sustainer. And many of you are unaware, and maybe if you are aware, you don't fully appreciate that Jesus has you right in his sight and right in his hand, and he's walking with you, holding you together. So God spoke creation. God also speaks salvation. Jesus was there in the beginning, and Jesus is here right now. And God utters one word over and over again. I don't know how many of you with your kids, you just seem to give the same five commands over and over again. I do. Clean up your room, wash your dishes, pick up after yourself. God, it seems, repeats himself to every new generation and to every new person on the planet. And he says one word. Jesus. That's what God is communicating to you today. In 1479, Lisa Gherardini was born. 1479. When she got to be 15 years old, that was marrying age in Florence, Italy, where she was born. And it was time for her to get married, and as it was customary, she married a much older man. She married a man twice her age. He was 30 years old. He was a silk merchant. And so they married, and by all accounts, it was a happy marriage, because while Lisa Gherardini did not come from a rich family, she was very beautiful. And it seems that her husband treated her like a princess, like a queen, and they genuinely loved each other. And to celebrate the birth of their second child, the husband hired an artist to paint Lisa Gherardini's likeness, a little artist known as Leonardo da Vinci. You probably have never heard of him. And he painted the Mona Lisa. Get this, it wasn't until 2005 that we knew who Mona Lisa was because of just some sketches of some notes in the margin of a book. There's now a whole research project right now called Discovering Mona Lisa, of who she was. And here this one portrait hangs in the Louvre in France, and maybe you've seen it in Paris, and 6 million people walk by every year to look at her image. You know what? The Bible zooms in on one face. There's one person that God wants you to know, the only Savior of the world. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. In him is life and light, and apart from him is darkness and death, and there is salvation in no other, and that is Jesus. He is the Word of God. Our Creator and our Sustainer. So I've been wrestling with something this week. If Jesus really is who we say he is, what should our response to that be? What should our response to God really be? And so I've been wrestling, trying to articulate something in my own self this week. And then I got to about the point to say, you know what, if I feel this way, I just need to tell our church. And then on Thursday night, I had a dream that I was standing right here, and I told you what I really felt. And let's just say in my dream, it did not go well. And I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't. And then Friday, I was talking with a pastor at Falls Creek, just right after I shot that little video you just saw. And he says, how are things, or I said to him, how are things going in your church? And he goes, yeah, they're just okay. He said, what about you? And I said, you know what? I would say about the same thing. Things are just going okay. And as I heard myself say that, I thought, I don't want to spend my life just doing something that's okay. I don't want to spend my life just kind of keeping mediocre. And it's not because my life is all that important, but if we really believe that Jesus Christ is our creator and our sustainer, that should bring about some kind of response and reaction from us. So I boiled it down to three things that I'm concerned about. And let me say, whenever, and by the way, been here 17 years, I don't think I've ever done something quite like this before. So hope you don't mind. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm cautious in a couple of regards, because any time a pastor is really honest with his church, sometimes it can come across as judgmental. It's not that at all. If I can't tell you the truth and if you can't listen to it, then I shouldn't be your pastor, right? Also, when you say something like this, you tend to paint in broad brushstrokes. There are exceptions to what I'm about to say, okay? There are people who are doing exactly what they should be doing and with the right attitude. So this is not painting everyone in the same color. This is just me sharing my heart that if Jesus is our creator and sustainer, there are some things that we absolutely need to have. Here's three things that I believe are missing in our church right now. One is passion. Passion. And I see this mostly in two areas, one on Sunday morning, in both of our services. And Jeff and I talk about this as we lead worship. We call it the painting, that people are here and they just, no movement, no response. Now, I'll tell you this, I'm not an overly expressive person. I'm not a big hands up, raising hands person. That's just my personality. Now, if that's you, that's fine. I encourage that. What I'm not looking for is excitement. What I am looking for is engagement. That if we are here to really worship the God of the universe, we should put our cell phones down and focus in on what God is telling us to do. Bottom line. And, boy, I'm going to risk opening up a can of worms here. Some of you, it still really bothers you that we don't do something patriotic on something like in July, early July. I get that. There's a time to honor America. This hour on Sunday morning is not it. But if I wanted to manipulate you, we could roll down the flag, salute the troops, and there would not be a dry eye in the house. What I want is us to feel that way about Jesus. Okay? It's possible to be a great citizen of the United States and a great citizen of the kingdom, but only one of those comes first. Okay? Passion. The other thing I think is missing is a sense of urgency. And I'm going to say this as gently as I know how. Most of you don't give a rip that other people apart from Christ are going to hell. Most of us, I'm going to put myself in that. We don't care about our neighbors. We don't care about our coworkers. For us, the church has become a place of edification so I can feel stronger and not a place of evangelism so that others can encounter Christ. Downtown is changing. We've done a great job as a church of reaching the down and out. We do that through our caring centers both here and out south. The dynamics of downtown is changing, and it's time for us to reinvent ourselves as a church, because the people we should be focused on are the down and out, but also the up and in that are moving right around us. And to be strategic and thoughtful and purposeful about, hey, we stuck around in downtown long enough, we're cool again. So do you think that maybe all those lean years were for the fat years that should be coming? That we look around at the apartment complexes and the condos and the millennials and the retired people and say, welcome to the neighborhood. Let's go. Come on in. And that we care about people's eternal destiny. If we really do believe Jesus is the creator and the sustainer and our savior, why are we keeping that to ourselves? So the last thing, we're missing passion, I believe. We're missing urgency with the gospel. I think we're just missing good old-fashioned commitment as well. So it's my third capital campaign, third building program. This is not a new rodeo for me. I've seen it happen 3 times. It's happening right now. Whenever you do a building project and you inconvenience people, attendance slips off. We're off by 10% of where we were last year. 10%. Now, I know you people. I like saying you people. You will sit for 3 hours at an OU football game in the drenching rain. But if it sprinkles a little bit on Sunday morning, I will stay at home and watch on the internet. I can see you through the internet, by the way. Bet you didn't know that. Listen, I feel that temptation too. When it's raining on Sunday, I go, oh, I'm just going to call Chris and have him preach for me. I get that, but I get going because I want to meet the God of the universe. Let me talk specifically to those of you who are parents. Your kids need your commitment. And I don't know what camera's on right now. I'm going to talk to this one. Guys, if y'all get on this camera right now. Parents, it's so easy, especially parents who've grown up in church, they know the gospel, their kids have come to Christ. It's so easy for church to become one option among many, and you'll give more attention to your kids' involvement in sports than you do their spiritual development. Let me say, if you don't hand off Christ to the next generation, Christianity will be extinct in the next generation. Your kids need to know that Christ is not an option. Lead them that way. Show that it's a priority. Show that it's non-negotiable. Let them see your passion and your urgency and your commitment, and it will pass off to them. There's a lot on the line with the next generation. So I'm not putting the blame on you today. It all comes back to me. If my church isn't passionate, I should be passionate. If my church doesn't have a sense of urgency, the first thing I need to do is I need to become urgent about the gospel. If the church lacks commitment, the first thing I need to do is be committed. So I'm going to begin that process today. And all I can do is ask you to join me in that. That's it. Would you stand with me today? Here's what I want to do. Jesus is our creator and sustainer. He is our creator and our savior. And I want us to have that opportunity to confess today what you heard Jordan and Josiah confess. Jesus is Lord, with this caveat. Maybe you have never confessed that with your lips before. You've never come to that point where you finally said, Jesus, you're Lord, you take over, let's go. If you've never confessed that this morning, I want to give the opportunity to do that right now. And we're all going to do this together. If Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, or you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life, would you just say, Jesus is Lord with me right now? Jesus is Lord. Jeff, I want you to come on up. We're going to do an invitation. We don't often do an invitation. And it's funny, I'll get a complaint. Why don't we do an invitation? I say, okay, if we do an invitation, you better walk down the aisle. Here's your chance, friends. And this is a come to the altar invitation. If you need passion, if you need more urgency, if you need more commitment, just come to the altar. No manipulation. We're not going to draw this out. If you want to come and kneel down with me and ask for these things, don't worry about being embarrassed. Who cares? Let's come to Christ. Let's ask for Him to be the Lord of our lives, the Lord of our church. He is our creator and our sustainer. Let's just act like it. You can stay at your seat if you want to, but I invite you to join me at the altar if you can. Let's go. Let's worship together and let's respond to the Lord.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. Every Sunday morning at the conclusion of worship, I offer this blessing to our people, and so I offer it to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.